Welcome to the G328 podcast from City Gospel Mission. We are a podcast for those who are working as reconcilers in ministries, churches, and communities. G328 comes from the Bible verse found in Galatians 3:28, which says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." This podcast is one of the ways we can help each other follow Jesus' teachings and turn away from bias, prejudice, racism, classism, and sexism. I'm your host today, Kara Warden, and this is part two of a two-part series where we interview Arturo Minera about his experience with diversity, equity, and inclusion in both his personal life and work. If you missed last week's episode, make sure to go back to catch up before continuing forward. How does what you shared relate to your work when it comes to diversity? If you want to share one or two examples of how it's impacted your work with volunteers or participants.
When you understand that people want to understand what the Hispanic community is about, how to feel about it, what to do about it, and I'm speaking directly about non-Hispanic, non-Hispanic volunteers and participants. Let me give you an example of one of those times that we have an overlapping program that's Teen Impact and Hispanic Outreach. We have celebrations. We invite so many of our kids because we're told to, we're invited to. We do it. We do a good job of always inviting and getting our kids to these programs. When we do, we don't mean to, but sometimes it's safe to say within that program, about 80% of the participants are our kids, our Hispanic children. And so when you had volunteers coming into these programs that it wasn't supposed to be a Hispanic populated thing, but here it is, I guess that's what I'm talking about, is diversity. It's just a beautiful thing to see. These kids are already in schools that have teachers that don't look like them, and communities where they're not in a Hispanic populated community. Well, nobody there is like them. But when the volunteers and participants come, it's just really cool to see, oh, wait, there's a lot of Hispanics here. It's like, yeah, welcome. You're invited. And having them see and click. And then when they come back year after year, they see the same thing, because we still continue to do our job of getting the kids there and the families wanting their kids in these programs. It's just been really cool, the organic conversations that come out of it. We have to be inviting of those conversations, Trisha and I, as we helm this department, as the people come and say, so these families, it always starts with like a very awkward, they want to know something, but they don't know how to ask it. And yeah. Trisha and I are now experts in it, where we're just like, hey, I maybe don't know the specific about what you're about to say, but I know that it's obviously pertaining to something you don't know and you want to know, and of course ask it, and you can't possibly offend us.
It sounds like what's happened because of your level of engagement with the community is it's created opportunities for diversity that maybe didn't exist before. And so you have volunteers being exposed to that, and they've got questions, and your goal is to have conversations with them to answer their questions so that they can connect better to the participants in our programs.
That's exactly it. There are people that will tell you that, well, it's not our job to do that, but we're in a kind of different situation here where we need to be welcoming. And when I say we, I mean Trisha and I, the Hispanic Outreach Department, we need to be very welcoming of that. Part of them trying to figure it out, that's what led them here. And so there has to be a place where you eventually go, hey, you are here. You've done everything you can to really understand it, coming back year after year. Of course, you should feel welcome to ask and seek more from us. And of course, I'm going to answer. And then they walk away exactly, you know, much more informed and much more educated. And the adversity is no longer an issue coming from that individual. Does that make sense?
It does. And so really what happens is you're creating these environments that are diverse. And now we're kind of shifted into a conversation about inclusion. And from what I understand and from what I can observe, inclusion is particularly difficult in the current environment, because I would say that there are many inhospitable places, specifically to Hispanic immigrants. And The thing that's very orienting for me is the scriptures, the many, many scriptures that talk about how we should treat as followers of God, how we should treat the sojourners in our land. And so that's all me saying what I think. But I think as a Christ follower, to me, inclusivity is extremely important, particularly to people who may feel excluded in the country that they're in. As we lean into the inclusion part, you know, or the lack of inclusion, how does that impact your work with volunteers and participants?
Inclusion is a tricky topic because it's something I'm still wrestling with myself and trying to make sure I practice it in a loving but still challenging way, because we're living in a time period right now where the Latino voice isn't necessarily the hot topic issue, but it will be. Inclusion is so tricky because when I look at what's going on with the world, actually in 3 years, about 30 of our kids are going to be voters. We have been with these kids for almost 10 years now. We have seen these kids become full-fledged adults, and already a couple graduated last year from high school and are already in the workforce. As they turn 18, as they start to become adults, as they start to have the rights that they have that in some of these contexts their parents don't, unfortunately, because of the proximity that this ministry has with a lot of the families, we have already started to hear, well, Arturo, Trisha, what should we do about this? What are your thoughts about this? How does this all pertain to inclusion? Well, because the kids are growing up and ask the question of, now, wait a minute, why is it just you two? Now, wait a minute, why is it nothing but white and black volunteers coming and helping you out? I find myself with Trisha being the only ones right here, being able to talk about that to them and being open and upfront and honest, and yet still trying not to diverge into politics. But the families and the kids, we're in a weird situation right now where they're wanting to understand why things are the way they are. And it is so hard to not dive into the politics. What I end up repeating, listen, my job here is not to persuade you of any political side, but to tell you and remind you that you now, as you graduate, you now, as you transition into full adulthood, you have an opportunity to say or do what you please. And if you want to come back, if you want to challenge the status quo, if you want to fall in the spectrum of people that will come back later or people that will commit right now to volunteering, to participating, and what we're going to find here in a couple of years, Kara, is that if the kids want to come back, if we can only have 10 volunteers, if we can only have 10 volunteers, if we can only have certain internships and our kids want them, the problem with the Hispanic community is that we reap every 5 years, 100 of us, sometimes in certain pockets, thousands of us. And my concern is I don't know that we are ready for that. If it happens, Trisha and I, and my dad really, and well, City Gospel, by having this department, has done a good job of getting the attention of the Hispanic community. So much so that these kids are looking forward to coming back as these volunteers and making sure that their brothers and sisters continue to participate, their cousins. But one thing that is catching our attention, and Trisha and I are trying to be proactive about it literally right now as we meet, is we have never faced this before. We are very soon going to have almost hundreds of kids that may be turning around and saying, Trisha, Artie, do you have opportunities for us? Do you have internships for us? Do you have scholarships for us? Do you know where we can find these things? And I don't know how we're going to do that. How do we discern who gets what? Because there are about 20 kids that we know are applying for colleges their junior year, and they're very motivated. So what I'm saying is I don't know that we are quite ready yet to receive the harvest that's coming very, very soon. Our Hispanic Outreach Department does a phenomenal job. We've got a lot of kids in the pipeline. We've got a lot of kids in our program, even kids that we don't personally know, but we hear are in other, you know, sites of WizKids sites and ballet sites. And so this will continue to happen. And of course, City Gospel will want to show what God is doing through these ministries that he's given us. But we're going to start to see It gets browner and browner and browner.
Historically, Cincinnati has been seen as a black and white city. I think statistically, it sits at around 48, 49% black, 48, 49% white from the census, right? And so for decades, the conversation in Cincinnati, and also because there's such a disparity socioeconomically in Cincinnati based upon whether you're black or white, the Hispanic population has largely not been a part of that dialogue. And what we're starting to see is this growth and this voice within Cincinnati rise up and be heard. And to your point, to be inclusive and to make sure that we're not turning this into a black and white conversation, but that the conversation itself is both diverse and inclusive of all populations in Cincinnati.
When I think about exactly what you just said, and I just had this conversation with somebody in Cincinnati public education system, but this is more than a white and black issue. It's more than a brown issue, Hispanic issue. This is an immigrant concern. I wouldn't even call it an issue. It's a concern. We said, we bragged, we boasted. Once upon a time, I don't hear it as much anymore, but I heard it when I was a kid. We're a melting pot. We want you. We want your rich, your poor. We want all of you. And it's like, all right, bet. We're coming. And what, you know, I'm 28 years old now. My parents, they heard that. They were part of the people that heard that and said, you know what? Let's go. My whole family, let's go. When I hear countless stories of not just the Latino families we work with that say the same thing. Yep, we heard this was the place. We came. I hear it from all of the other immigrant families that I interact with, African refugee that's from somewhere in the Middle East. I'm hearing them say the same thing. And we're now getting that. Like, the harvest is now here. These kids were about my age or younger, and they are now becoming full-fledged adults. We still don't understand. And again, it's even a parallel, right, to the conversations I was having with God way back when, like decades ago myself. Trisha and I have seen and narrowed it down just with our data that these kids are going to graduate. These kids are going to look for the opportunities to become something, and they trust City Gospel. They trust our Jobs Plus program. What would be an issue is if we do not continue to have what you're saying, like, you have to be proactive now, even if you don't know what it's going to look like. Let's just have some sort of dialogue now, planning out to be more inclusion. We are still continuing to be a very beautiful, diverse, colorful melting pot, at least Cincinnati. Like, Cincinnati is continuing to be such a beautiful shade of different colors and people. And I have dreams. I have dreams of there one day needing to be an immigrant outreach, because as Trisha and I have worked in the Hispanic population, I can't tell you how many times we debrief afterwards and I'm like, but who was there for the African refugee family right next door?
Right.
Who was there for them, speaking to them in French? I did with the limited, you know, you want me to go so far as I took 5 years of French, not understanding why. I went to Paris, not understanding why. And with the very limited French I can remember, like 12 years later, having those conversations with them to at least do what my dad and Trisha were doing almost a decade ago, just starting the conversation. And and I'm saying all this not with a sense of like worry behind me, but excitement, because it's exciting. At the end of the day, this is exciting because this is just another step in the right direction. You having these conversations and you being able to hear this, for those that are listening to be able to hear that, I don't want us to fall in line later. I don't want us to realize that God is calling you now to really consider a little bit more, to think just a little longer about this, to take a leap of faith.
It's not a leap of faith. It's a continuation of the ministry that you've already started. And I think what I'm hearing is there's a little bit of dancing around in language, because, you know, immigration is a topic that's being discussed politically, but the discussion that we have doesn't have to be political. I think it does have to be biblical. And so how we're supposed to treat people, and this is going to lead us into that, the final part of equity, but equity refers to the fair and respectful treatment of all people. And I think you and I both share the belief that comes from the Bible that all people are created in the image of God. Amen. And so yes, they deserve to be treated fairly and respectfully And that's a lot of what you're talking about right now.
There's a, this is probably the one where, you know, the tone shifts from excitement to more frustration. We're not there yet. We're getting there, but we're not there yet. So I can't speak to something that we're not really grasping yet in general from my point of view. But equity is the one where I get frustrated, because now that is the nitty gritty. That is where it becomes a hot button topic and issues. Equity is a conversation that's not happening in regards to the Hispanic population. Unfortunately, this past week, there were a lot of things that we as a department had to face. We are all God's children. And the reality is, and the reason this is hard for me, is because we can justify, because of history, we can give grace to the lack of diversity. But equity, which is above those things, which is a very objective, like you have here, fairness and respect, knowing that we are all in the image and likeness of God, there can be no excuse for that. There can be no excuse for the behavior, the ignorances, that because they're coming from this kind of a situation, that must mean they are. There's nothing objective outside of we are all God's creation. There is nothing else that's objective about that. And so this is the part of the work that has been the most challenging for me, because we have found ourselves faced with people when they make it clear, at least to me, I know that in the moment I usually tell Trisha, I am sensing the discomfort of these families, and this is not where we're supposed to be right now, or we need to remove ourselves from this. It's a little hard to talk about because, unfortunately, that still happens. Not in City Gospel. I mean, that should have gone without saying. But in this city, there's still a lot of work left to do. And it's not that I'm not proud to bring these kids in, to bring these families in, to be right by their side, because the work in Hispanic outreach varies between just sending out an email and a notice of an opportunity, a resource, to being right there with them and translating. And anywhere in between, that's what I'm referring to, that the equity in Cincinnati still needs a lot of work, because we are still experiencing a lot of racism against Hispanics, and it could be from any group of people. And the reason it's such a hard topic to talk about right now is because we are still trying to deal with a long pending racist issue in this country. And the reason this is so hard is because here's the reality, Kara. If this country cannot resolve an issue that they've claimed to have resolved for years now, if there is still no hope of absolute resolution for an issue like that, why and how in the world could we expect there to be absolute resolve to the other groups of people that are facing the same sort of issues? If we start talking about equity in regards to the Hispanic or immigrant communities, that will be putting in the backseat other issues. And so we always have to be careful about letting people know your fight is our fight. And also because we could never get to the front of the line until this issue is resolved.
If we're talking about a line, what that implies, what many people in your communities know, is that there is racism and people are not being treated fairly or respectfully purely because they're an immigrant in this nation,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And yeah. I think you're alluding to the racism that has been in the United States of America for over 400 years, and that many people have been claiming that since the civil rights movement, racism isn't really an issue. But we're hearing a lot of voices around the nation saying racism continues to be an issue. It is an issue. And not only is it an issue for people who are Black in the United States, it's an issue for anybody who isn't white.
Yes. And that's what's frustrating is when we finally make this pathway for absolute justice and resolution and reconciliation, it's going to be that much easier for all of the other groups of people that are being oppressed to just follow that trail after years of trial and error. But right now we're dealing with a lot of the immigrant community voicing their concern about why are we not being heard right now? And I've had to do a lot of explaining in the past couple of months and telling my own community of people, hey, look, you have to understand that this issue has not been resolved. How could you possibly expect us, if we're heard right now, for us to just like that have a resolution? And the reason they need to hear that is because when they come here, they are already introduced to racism from all kinds of people. And racism is a toxic, it's a poison in the country. It's just a poison. And the reason that's vital to the topic of equity is because how do I resolve? You call it out. You call it out. I think one of the things I'm most thankful for that God is continuing to build in me, and this is through a lot of mentoring from Lakrita, who really, man, just played a vital role as I was transitioning into this full-time ministry position and really coaching me through how to be. I see a lot of me and how she operates. As I'm continuing to embrace who I am and my personality and my leadership qualities, part of that is calling it out and saying, this is out of line. This cannot be what we're promoting to our kids. The last thing I want to do is put a kid through that. This part of the job, that's what I said in the beginning. That is the part that hurts about this job, because at the end of the day, this is where we find the most tension in equity. I'm telling you, that's the hardest part about this job. City Gospel, you know, if one were to ask, well, what could we do? Really nothing. Keep doing what you're doing. Because what has been very powerful, Kara, when they see all these volunteers, we talked about in the beginning of this, volunteers that don't look like them coming in and showing them the love of Jesus, not just math, but the love of Jesus.
What we're talking about here as it relates to equity, I think there's also a tension between, in our faith, we know that we live in this broken, inequitable world, right?
Mm-hmm.
But particularly within the church, within the body of Christ, there should be no room for inequity.
Exactly.
There's the heart of God is for the fair and respectful treatment of all of his people. Exactly. And so, of course, it's going to be, I think that's the thing, your passion, your frustration, I think that's the heart of God, that he would feel similarly if he were to see that.
And that's where, you know, I'm just, again, so thankful that God could have chosen anybody to do this work. He could have chosen and can still just up and choose somebody else. And it's just such an honor. Like, it's just such an honor that he still said yes to me despite all of my shortcomings. I'm a fighter. I am stubborn. And I love that. The part of me that loves to see me and we win loves to brag on the fact that God is still good, that God is always good, and that every day that these kids make a decision to be different, be it different than the things that their parents are still struggling through, that's the best part of it, is when we don't let it win. We get to celebrate it like crazy. And the kids get to see you keep speaking out. Even as a third year, a third grader, you still fight for what's right based on what the Lord shows and demonstrates through us through his love. Man, at the end of the day, I get a front row seat to that, to see every day one or 100 kids doing something different, being better for themselves and for their community. That's the best part about this job.
we talked about how this is a broken world that we're living in, and you talk about the fight, and that we know that certain things won't, according to our beliefs, certain things won't happen until we arrive at the very end. But that doesn't change the fact that because of who we are and because of who we believe in, we must fight for the things that God is for and for the things that we are for as his people. I'm just reminded as we wrap this up of the phrase, well done, good and faithful servant, right? The scripture doesn't say well done, good and successful servant, or well done, good and famous servant, but well done, good and faithful. And so this is a faith being lived and breathed in your program and in your work from the very beginning, from generations of your family. And so it's exciting to learn about it from you and to talk to you about it. Is there anything else that you want to share real quick before we wrap up this episode?
You guys won't hear it this way, but it's exactly what Kara said. One day the kids are going to hear the same thing that I hope you do, that we do. Hiciste bien, siervo bueno y fiel. Has sido fiel en lo poco. Te pondré a cargo de mucho más. Ven a compartir la felicidad de tu Señor. They're going to hear that. That's our goal. I want them to hear that. The same way I want you to hear that one day from the heavenly hosts, man. If there was a reason that you heard this, it wasn't because, oh, this Artie dude sounds kind of cool. No, far from that. It's more, what does God need you to hear from this? What does God need you to do? I just want everybody to know that there is a reason why you had to hear this and the one before this and the one after. But the invitation is right here, right now. So thank you on behalf of them. Muchas gracias for what you're doing for our kids. Muchas gracias, muchas gracias. God bless you, bendiciones, and I'll see you out there. Thank you, Kara.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. If you like what you're hearing, make sure you subscribe to the podcast to get the latest releases. And remember Micah 6:8, act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. We'll meet you back here next time.